brought to you by the new Bose A20 aviation headset and by XMWX Satellite Weather. Bose is now introducing their most advanced pilot headset ever, the new Bose A20 aviation headset. It provides significantly greater noise reduction than currently available, along with improved comfort, clear audio, and Bluetooth connectivity.
This is Mary Grady for AvWeb reporting from AirVenture 2010, and I'm talking with Buck Kozlowski. He's a pilot for the Osprey, and he's going to tell us a little bit about this really unique aircraft and what it's like to fly it. So, Buck, thanks for talking with us today.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thanks for your time.
So can you tell us a little bit about your background and how much time you spent on this and under what kind of conditions and all that?
I'm currently training to fly this aircraft. I flew C-130s for about 4 years prior to this. I started training in January, flew with the Marine Corps for about 4 months. I went through their training program, and I'm now transitioning to fly the CV-22 with the Air Force. That's a standard training thing for the Air Force pilots. Train with the Marines, get their qualification, and then transfer to the CV-22. I should finish in November.
Okay, thanks. So what's unique about this aircraft compared to other aircraft that you've flown?
The tilt rotor is the biggest thing. It's very interesting aerodynamically. You're kind of a hybrid between a true fixed wing and a true helicopter. It's not the best airplane in the world, and it's not the best helicopter in the world, but the combination of the two gives us some pretty incredible capabilities. From a flying standpoint, you now have a new control surface to worry about. So instead of just worrying about ailerons and elevators and rudders or a swash plate, you have all of those things working in concert, as well as changing your lift vector constantly. So it's one more thing to think about. It definitely keeps you on your toes, and we spend a lot of time working on crew resource management and having everyone work together to make sure that we're operating it safely and effectively.
So how many crew does it take to fly it?
Standard configuration is 4 crew members, 2 pilots and 2 flight engineers. We'll have 2 pilots and 1 flight engineer up in the cockpit, and then the other flight engineer is in control of everything happening in the cargo, in the cabin.
Well, a lot of us, of course, have seen this fly at air shows, but could you give us an idea of what a real mission profile would be like and what's involved in getting it to operate in all the different performance parameters?
Sure. Well, first of all, because of all the moving parts, our maintainers do a great job of keeping the thing working. It's very maintenance intensive, and we've got some pretty impressive folks that do a great job making that happen. Once we're airborne and executing our mission, a typical mission for us on the CV-22 is special operations, infiltration, exfiltration. So the idea is to get someplace without being detected and then get out. So a lot of times that it's dependent on the mission, but a lot of times that means flying low-level profiles. We've got a ground mapping radar which allows us to fly pretty low altitudes without seeing outside. It's all all inside on the glass on the instruments. And then we'll do fly as fast as we can, get there at the time that we said we'd be there, and then convert. And land in a more of a helicopter mode, and then execute the mission, and then depart without being detected.
So when you say you're flying pretty low and pretty fast, how exactly fast are you talking about?
At 280 knots calibrated is our maximum airspeed, and as far as altitudes, we'll train at 200 feet AGL for contour flight, and that's IFR capable at those altitudes.
Now, does the aircraft have other characteristics that make it hard to detect on radar?
We do have some countermeasures. We have a suite of integrated radio frequency countermeasures. Some jamming capability, but the big thing is using the radar to fly as low as possible and stay undetected. The biggest thing is it's unique, incredibly unique, and still relatively new. So, the great thing about it is that we're still figuring out things about it. We're still figuring out the best way to employ it, and it's kind of exciting to be involved in the program at this time, because there is still room for new ideas, and I think that's a pretty exciting thing. A lot of these aircraft have been around for years and years and years, and people have made the mistakes and figured everything out already. For us, we still have things to work out, and I think that's a pretty cool thing.
So how many of these are flying? Is this still considered kind of in a test regime?
No, it's fully operational now. We don't have the number that we will eventually have. The plan is to have 50 on the Air Force side. I think right now we're sitting at about 20. They're still rolling off the assembly line. But they are fully operational and executing missions as we speak.
So. Okay, well, thanks a lot for talking to us. Again, this is Mary Grady with AvWeb, talking with Buck Kozlowski with the 71st Special Operations Squadron. Thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.
XMWX satellite weather is as vital as vision. Never fly blind again when you add XMWX satellite weather to your onboard electronics suite today. Come see what the latest XMWX satellite weather has to offer at EAA AirVenture 2010, booth 3037.